الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers in Islam, we continue with the book of Akashf al-Shubuhat fi al-Tawheed, removing the doubts concerning Tawheed. And as discussed previously, the subject matter of this book is dealing with those who worship righteous people, or let's say according to them they call on to righteous people to intercede for them with Allah as intermediaries, while thinking that this particular act is Islamically valid and it does not constitute shirk, while the reality is otherwise. And that book has been compiled and authored in order to refute this understanding, furthermore educate the Muslims or the so-called Muslims who may have fallen into this trap. And as we mentioned, it is our job to do that, because usually they don't want to hear it. So it's, if we have to carry on this particular task, and if you don't have any knowledge, you can't do it. You know it's wrong, but you can't explain it to others. So we're trying to learn, inshallah, how to deal with that. The Shaykh had said, rahimahullah, إِذَا عَرَفْتَ مَا ذَكَرْتُ لَكَ مَعْرِفَةَ الْقَلْبِ وَعَرَفْتَ الشِّرْكَ بِاللَّهِ الَّذِي قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. He said, if you have come to know with all your heart that which was explained previously, which is what? The fact that the mushrikeen confirmed the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, that Allah is the Lord, Sustainer, Cherisher of the heavens and the earth, but they did not single Him out in worship. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah was missing. They believed in the Rububiyyah of Allah, but they did not submit to Him in the ultimate sense. If you have come to know that, and you've come to know the shirk, which Allah said in regards to, verily Allah does not forgive that you set up partners in worship with Him, but He forgives whatever is lesser than that to whomever He wills. وَعَرَفْتَ دِينَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ بِهِ الرُّسُلُ مِنْ أَوَّلِهِمْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِمْ الَّذِي لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَحَدٍ سِوَاهُ وَعَرَفْتَ مَا أَصْبَحَ غَالِبُ النَّاسِ فِيهِ مِنَ الْجَهْلِ بِهَذَا أَفَادَكَ فَائِدَتَيْنِ. And if you have come to know the religion of Allah, which He sent every messenger with, from the first one, which is Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, to the last one, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it is the only religion that Allah will accept, and He will not accept anything besides that. Allah says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهِ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Verily, the true religion inside of Allah is Islam. In another ayah, Allah says, whoever desires a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him, and he will be in the hereafter among the losers. And so, having Islam or Muslim on your passport or your birth certificate does not necessitate that you're a Muslim. This is not speaking about those who have Muslim on their passport. This is speaking about those who live Islam, understand Islam, live Islam, implement Islam. This is the religion that Allah will accept. Anything other than that, even if it has the, it's under the umbrella of Islam, if it is not being manifested in their behavior, then we cannot consider them to be among the Muslims. So some of the groups of Muslims, for example, who say, or the so-called Muslims who say, that Jibreel made a mistake when he brought the revelation, he gave it to the Prophet Muhammad instead of Ali radiallahu anhu. For 23 years, Jibreel was making a mistake. This belief system takes you outside of Islam, even if you claim to be among the Muslims, because you are accusing Allah of not being the Lord. Because the Lord is the sustainer, cherisher, the caretaker, how is He going to let an angel dealing with the most important thing in life, revelation, make a mistake? And these people exist. You know who I'm talking about. So they call themselves Muslims, and they speak on behalf of Muslims, but in reality, if this is your belief system, then the Christian is better.
And a Jew is better, because they don't even accuse Allah of this, A'udhu Billah. So this we must understand what really Islam means, the religion that Allah will accept. If we have come to know all these things, then this will provide us, and the ignorance that has had surrounded the people. Everybody's just not knowing what Islam really teaches. Not everybody, but most people. Then you will benefit two benefits. The first, الفرح بفضل الله ورحمته. كما قال تعالى قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. First, you rejoice the bounty of Allah. You rejoice the bounty of Allah and His mercy. Because Allah said regarding this in the Quran in Surah Yunus verse 58, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the people, concerning the bounty of Allah and His mercy, let them rejoice. It is better than what they amass or accumulate. Meaning the dunya and the wealth that you accumulate, that usually brings you pleasure. Right? This is what you rejoice. When you get a new car, a nice, you know, maybe fancy Camry, if you like Camrys, with some leather interior. What is the feeling that you have when you drive in a car? Happy. Better than the older car maybe that you have. Naturally, as human beings. But Allah addressed us in this ayah, say concerning the bounty of Allah, of Islam, and the Quran, and His mercy to us, the believers, let them rejoice. Rejoice, yani be happy. Celebrate. And not an innovative celebration, the celebration of the heart, and being a Muslim, and one among those whom Allah has guided to Islam and to believe. And this is a bounty from Allah. Allah says this is better than what they accumulate from the worldly life. وَأَفَادَكَ أَيْضًا الْخَوْفُ الْعَظِيمُ فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ يَكْفُرْ بِكَلِمَةٍ يُخْرِجُهَا مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَقَدْ يَقُولُهَا وَهُوَ يَظُنُّ أَنَّهَا تُقَرِّبُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The second benefit is that you will establish great fear. You will become afraid of what? Of shirk. When you know that the situation is so serious that you may lose your Islam altogether because of shirk. Because Allah says He does not forgive that. That's the only unforgivable sin. Fornication, adultery, alcoholism, drug abuse, theft, robbery, everything falls under the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawbah. But even if you die in that state, you are still qualified for Jannah. Right? Because you died as a believer. So if somebody had all of these crimes, and we're not encouraging anyone to commit them, but if you had all of these crimes, but you died upon Tawheed, then you may enter the fire because of your violations, just like prison time. But eventually you'll go to Jannah because you died as a Muslim. Whereas someone who performs Salah and Siyam and Hajj and Umrah, and he leaves alone fornication and adultery and alcoholism and robbery, but he worships other with Allah, this person will never enter Jannah. Just as to know how dangerous the situation is. And we've heard these with our own ears in Hajj. People go to Hajj, and what is Hajj for? This is a manifestation of your submission to Allah. You go through the struggle. It's a form of jihad to go for Hajj and al-Tawaf with all the crowds and all the people. It's difficult for the physical being for you to endure that. Yet some people go to Hajj in order to say, instead of saying Ya Allah, they say Ya Ali, Ya Hussein. And wallahi, you've heard from my own ear. We were with the new Muslims in a tent, taking the new Muslims perhaps to Da'wah Center. Part of their programs is that they send the new Muslims to Hajj. In the very next door tent, we're sitting in a tent, one of the Qiyam, and then the next door one, some people were saying, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. They said it maybe 150 times. Only, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The new Muslims are looking at us like, what are these people doing? They don't know, they cannot see, they hear. Now we've taught them the Fatiha, but they never knew that you recite إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ 150 times. But that's one of their bid'ah, these people. Then when they finished إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, they went to say, Ya Ali, Ya Hussein, we had to give a lecture for the new Muslims to tell them that this what you heard is not from Islam, because they were traumatized. They said, what are these people doing? Now we know Ya Allah, but we don't know anything other than that. So these people go for Hajj in order to call on to Ali and Hussein. So that Hajj of theirs is void. Allah called them for Hajj for what? To remember Him, to worship Him, to call on to Him. So they go and call to the creation, the dead creation. So this is just to give you an example of what people really have today, and we're not aware of these things. This is what some so-called Muslims do in the name of Islam. And so you should be afraid of shirk, because it is that dangerous. If you call on to someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you may make all of your deen of Islam void. And Jannah is haram. Jannah becomes haram, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Isa in the Quran. When he addresses people, he told them that verily Allah is my Lord and your Lord. So worship Him. Verily, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. This is Jesus telling His people, verily whoever ascribes partners with Allah, then Jannah, Allah has made Jannah forbidden for him, and his abode will be an-nar, the hellfire, وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ, and the wrongdoers will have no helpers. No one will help them on the day of judgment, because Allah sent the messengers with the very message of Tawheed. From Adam as a prophet to Nuh as the first messenger, all the way to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. Read the Quran in Surah Hud and other ayat. Every messenger came, say, oh my people, worship Allah. Verily you have no other Lord besides Him. This was the universal of the messengers. وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. Allah says, and verily we have not sent the messenger before you, speaking to the Prophet Muhammad, except that we had inspired him or revealed to him that there is no God worthy of worship but I, so worship me. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. And we have sent forth among every nation that you should worship Allah and avoid false gods. And anything that is worshipped besides Allah, excuse me, is a false god. So we should be afraid of falling into shirk. And we should be concerned about our family members and our local citizens, you know, the people of the same country, from our country, that they do not fall into shirk. They do not ruin their Islam. They do not follow the ways of the misguided people. So we have to educate them, inshaAllah. Because if you know that the person may become a disbeliever because of a statement that he says with his tongue, while he thinks that he is getting closer to Allah with that statement. And he will give us some examples. كما ظن المشركون خصوصا إن ألهمت الله ما قص عن قوم موسى مع صلاحهم وعلمهم. Especially if Allah gives you the understanding of what happened with Musa and his people. So you know what happened with Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام, when he called the children of Israel and he saved them from Fir'aun. Then Fir'aun and Haman and his ministers and everybody, his dignitaries, all of them chased after them. And then he parted the ocean by the will of Allah into 12 different parts. Some people think, as you know, maybe you've seen the movie, the Ten Commandments, that it was parted only in half. Actually, according to the Tafsir, there were 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And the ocean was split into 12 different paths. Each one of the tribes of the children of Israel traveled upon their own. Now when the people of Fir'aun went after them, they came out of the ocean and those came into the ocean. Then Allah caused the ocean to drown them. And Fir'aun and his people, everybody drowned. When they made it onto the other side, Musa and his people, just after Allah saved them, they went by a group of people that they saw, they were worshipping a calf. So they told Musa, make us a god like they have a god. After Allah saved them from this, they were being humiliated, they were being disgraced, and they were good people, they were righteous people. As the Sheikh mentioned, he said the people of Musa, they were righteous and they had knowledge. But Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, verse 138, اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. They told Musa, make us a god like they have a god. We want a God like they have a God. Because of this idea of worship. worshipping an object, physical object, is something that is satanic. And we know that the shaitan, na'udhu billah min, he runs in the children of Adam like the blood runs in the vein. So the people are obsessed, like the Hindus, you know, they claim that they're not worshipping the statue. They're only using it as concentration. It's a point of concentration to worship the God, supposedly, as they claim. But it is, what is it at the end of the day? It's idolatry. It's loving a statue. Human beings, unless Allah guides them, like alhamdulillah, the Muslims, they love to have an object that they worship in front of them. Because they don't want something that they cannot see. You see, they want something that is physical. They can touch, they can seek blessings from, they can clean, you know, whatever it gets dirty, as you see, that's what they do with the statues. This is a human tendency because it is satanic and shaitan is continuously whispering to the children of Adam. So when they saw this calf, they wanted one like that. They wanted also to have some object that they could physically see so they could worship it as well. فَحِينَئِذٍ يَعْظُمُ حِرْصُكَ وَخَوْفُكَ عَلَى مَا يُخَلِّصُكَ مِنْ هَذَا وَأَمْثَالِهِ. Then when you know this reality that even the children of Israel with their righteousness, they told Musa to give him a God like they had a God, then you should also become more keen and have more fear of imitating these people and their likes, whether from back then or in this day and time. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنْ حِكْمَتِهِ لَمْ يَبْعَثْ نَبِيًّا بِهَذَا التَّوْحِيدِ إِلَّا جَعَلَ لَهُ أَعْدَاءً. No, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His wisdom, did not send forth a messenger, a prophet, except that He had made enemies for him. No prophet came with Tawheed, except that there were enemies who went against him, who opposed him, and who contradicted the teachings of Tawheed. كما قال تعالى, as Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-An'am, verse 112, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. Allah says regarding this, and verily, we have made for every prophet an enemy, the shayateen, the devils of ins and jinn. And people don't, some brothers don't know this. There are two kinds of shayateen. There's the jinni shaitan and there's the ins. And this is one of the evidences, if you read the tafsir of Surah An-Nas, the one that you probably recite often in the Quran, min al-jinnati wal-nas. This refuge that you're seeking with Allah is from the shayateen of the jinn and the human beings. Because there are shayateen among the human beings. Anyone who calls you to disobey Allah, anyone who criticizes you for worshipping Allah, as it is the case with many people, when they see you trying to return to Allah in repentance, they come say, oh, you're mutawwi' now, oh, now you're going to be Shaykh al-Islam, oh, excuse me, no more coming, oh. Instead of encouraging the brother, say, alhamdulillah, may Allah guide us like He guided you, inshallah, make dua for us. Some people, a'udhu billah, they go the opposite way. They may criticize a person and say that, you know, he's become a boring person, or he was unsuccessful in life, so he said he'll just take religion as his own hobby. You know, you get strange accusations from human beings. These are shayateen. And then there's the shaitan of jinn. So Allah says, and such we have made for every prophet enemies, the shayateen of ins and jinn. And they inspire one another with adorned speech in delusion. They inspire one another with adorned like you bring anything and you make it beautiful. You beautify by putting any kind of zina. So they adorn the speech in order, as a form of delusion, to delude the people, to misguide them from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ يَكُونُ لِأَعْدَاءِ التَّوْحِيدِ عُلُومٌ كَثِيرًا وَكَثْرَةُ حُجَجٍ وَكُتُبٌ وَحُجَجٍ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. In Surah Ghafir, verse 83, dealing with the fact that the enemies of Tawheed may have knowledge, they may have books, and they may have a lot of arguments. The enemies of Tawheed, like even a philosopher, he will have a lot of things to say, a lot of arguments to present why he believes that there's no God, there's no being that created everything. They have arguments, they have knowledge, he may be knowledgeable in physics and science and various knowledges, but when it comes to the knowledge of Tawheed, he doesn't have anything, but he may have other forms of knowledge. Allah says regarding them, so when their messengers came to them with the clear proofs, with the clay proofs, they became exalted in pride with the knowledge that they had. So then they became conceited with the knowledge that they had from the worldly life, and so they disregarded the knowledge that came to them concerning Tawheed. This was Ghafir verse 83. إِذَا عَرَفْتَ ذَلِكَ وَعَرَفْتَ أَنَّ الطَّرِيقَ إِلَى اللَّهِ لَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ أَعْدَاءٍ قَاعِدِينَ عَلَيْهِ أَهْلُ فَصَاحَةٍ وَعِلْمٍ وَحُجَّةٍ فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَيْكَ أَن تَتَعَلَّمَ مِنْ دِينِ اللَّهِ مَا يَصِيرُ صِلَاحًا لَكَ تُقَاتِلُ بِهِ هَؤُلَاءِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. If you have come to know that and you know that upon the path that leads to Allah, it is inevitable that you will find enemies awaiting and sitting, expecting you, and they are eloquent. They may be eloquent in their speech, they may have knowledge, and they may have arguments. Then it becomes compulsory on you to learn from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which will become a weapon. To learn from the deen of Allah that which will become a weapon for you. So you will fight against these shayateen, that their leader, الَّذِي قَالَ إِمَامُهُمْ وَمُقَدِّمُهُمْ لِرَبِّكَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Their leader, their imam. The imam of the shayateen is who? Right? Who's the imam of the shayateen? Iblis, right? Iblis is the father. He is the father of all of them, as it comes in some of the narrations. He's literally the father, and the shayateen are his children. And the most beloved one to him is the one that he gets a man to divorce his wife. It comes in a narration that the shaitan has a throne on the water, and he sends his soldiers, the shayateen, to mislead the people. So one of them will come and say, "Wallah, I made this guy, you know, lie." He said, "Yallah, go get out of here. It's not a big deal." They come and give him all kinds of, you know, achievements and accomplishments. He doesn't care. But one of them will come and say, "I stayed behind him. I stayed whispering to him until he divorced his wife." He will say, you. And he will actually hold them and hug him and give him a lofty status that he doesn't give for the rest of the shayateen. This hadith is sahih. This is an authentic narration from the Prophet ﷺ, that one of the biggest achievements of the shaitan is to ruin the household. When the father goes in one way and the mother goes in the other way, and the children become lost in between, you know, they don't get the required healthy environment. Now Allah decrees sometimes that divorce happens because of valid reasons. We're talking about here, the context is the one who divorces his wife for nothing because the food was too salty, you know, and he told her, you know, don't put any more salt. And she says, the salt was good. And they continue to argue over something insignificant until he says, you're divorced. And you know, this is one talqa. So this is what is intended here. Otherwise, sometimes people are not compatible. People are not compatible. Not every two people will remain. The Prophet ﷺ and the companions during their time, the divorce took place. Allah revealed the surah called At-Talaq. Because this is something that is part of Islam, unlike Christianity, which they claim that once you get married, you cannot divorce. Once you get married, you cannot divorce. So you're stuck with someone for the rest of your life. So what happens? He goes out and she goes out, and then the whole household is corrupt because these people don't like each other. So Islam gave a solution for that particular thing. So what did their imam, the shaitan, say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kicked them out of Jannah? He said, "Verily I will sit and wait for them upon your straight path. And then I will come to them from in front, from between their arms, from between their hands, yani from the front. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. And I will come from their backs. وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And I will come from their right and from their left, and you will find only a few of them to be thankful. You will find the majority of them ungrateful. We will not be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So the shaitan promised, he will come from in front of you, and from behind you, and from your right, and from your left, in order to make us be ungrateful to Allah. So we can be ungrateful to Allah. So we don't want to give him victory. That's why we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. How do you thank Allah? Three ways. First, you acknowledge with your heart that whatever blessing you have is from Allah. That's the acknowledgement of the heart. Anything that you have is from Allah, not from your boss, not from the business, the money that you make, the clothes that you wear. At the end of the day, it is rizq written by Allah. Many years before Allah created the heavens and the earth. Secondly, you praise Allah with your tongue. Say, Alhamdulillah. You continually praise Allah for the blessing. Thirdly, and the most important, is that you utilize that blessing in obedience to Allah. You utilize it to obey Allah, not to disobey Him. So He gives you money, you recognize with your heart that that money is given by Allah, then you praise Him, but then you don't go and you spend this money on haram. You don't go invest into some interest-based transaction. You don't disobey Allah with the wealth that He gave you because you're not being thankful to Allah. So being grateful then is by utilizing whatever blessing you have in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. ولكن إذا أقبلت على الله وأصغيت إلى حججه وبيناته فلا تخف ولا تحزن. Although the enemies of Tawheed may have knowledge and they may have arguments and everything, he said, but if you turn to Allah and you attentively listen to Allah's decisive arguments and His clarifications that He mentioned in the Quran, then do not be afraid and do not grieve. Do not be afraid and do not grieve. Allah says, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. In Surah An-Nisa, verse 76, Allah says, verily the plot of the shaitan is ever weak. The plotting that the shaitan does in order to mislead you, to trick you, is weak. For who? For those who are supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not everyone. If we don't have a good relationship with Allah, then shaitan may be able to plot against us. Right? Because in the other ayat, Allah says regarding to the shaitan, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانِ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. Allah says to the shaitan, verily my servants, you shall have no authority over them, except those who will follow you among those who are deviant. So Allah told us that if you have a connection, if you submit to Allah, if you establish worship sincerely for the sake of Allah, then you will be protected from the shaitan when he will have no authority over you. Yes, he may whisper to us occasionally and we will sin occasionally, but he will not control you as it is the case with those who are drowning in their desires and their whims and following whatever is pleasing to them, totally away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person is the person who the shaitan has gotten a hold of. But the believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him, and the shaitan's plot against you will be unaffected if we establish this right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by worshipping Him alone and having knowledge of His deed. وَالْعَمِّي مِنَ الْمُوحِدِينَ يَغْلِبُ الْأَلْفَ مِنْ عُلَمَاءِ هَوْلَاءِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. One average muwahid, muwahid is the person like Muslim, Islam, Muslim. Tawheed, muwahid, يعني the one who is establishing the, maintaining the unity and the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One muwahid is able to defeat 1,000 of the scholars of the mushrikeen. One, because of that, you bring one ayah from the Quran. You stand next to him and say, Allah says, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And Allah says in the Quran, and do not call on to anyone besides Allah. This is knowledge that no one can argue. How are you going to misinterpret that ayah? How are you going to disregard that ayah? Allah says, do not call on to anyone besides Allah. Khalas. So this knowledge that one muwahid has, because it is the truth that was sent down by Allah, he'll be able to defeat 1,000 of the scholars of the mushrikeen. Because they don't have such arguments. They have the arguments of shirk and falsehood, and the truth will ever defeat the falsehood. طيب. كما قال تعالى وَإِنَّ جُنْدُنَا وَإِنَّ عَفْوًا جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. And verily our soldiers will be victorious. So Allah promised that the soldiers of Allah that are the ones who will turn out to be victorious. This was Surah Al-Saffat, verse 173. فَجُنْدُ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ بِالْحُجَّةِ وَاللِّسَانِ كَمَا أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ بِالسَّيْفِ وَالسَّنَانِ. The soldiers of Allah are the ones who are victorious in their arguments and with their tongues. The same way they are the ones who are victorious with the swords and the spears. وَإِنَّمَا الْخَوْفُ عَلَى الْمُوَحِّدِ الَّذِي يَسْلُكُ الطَّرِيقُ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ سِلَاحٌ. You only become concerned about the muwahid when he goes upon the path and he doesn't have any weapon. And we're talking about the weapon of what? Knowledge of what was mentioned earlier. وَقَدْ بَنَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْنَا بِكِتَابِهِ الَّذِي جَعَلَهُ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. And Allah has bestowed a great favor upon us in this book that He has made an exhortation compensation for everything, and guidance and mercy and glad tidings for the Muslimin, those who submit to Allah. This is what the Quran contains. فَلَا يَأْتِي صَاحِبُ بَاطِلٍ بِحُجَّةٍ إِلَّا وَفِي الْقُرْآنِ مَا يَنْقُضُهَا وَيُبَيِّنُ بُطْلَانُهَا. No person who brings any falsehood, any false argument, except that in the Quran is that which will negate that, contradict it, and nullify it. No one brings an argument except that you'll be able to refute him from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 33, وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا. And they do not present to you any similitude or example except that we will give you the truth and better explanation. Any false argument that they present, then Allah has promised that He will give in return the truth and a better example. So someone try to use the ayat that are mushtabihat, the ayat which may carry more than one meaning. And just to share with you some of the calamities that the Muslims are suffering today, for some period of time, I've been going back and forth in corresponding in email with a group of so-called Muslims who say that there is no such thing as hadith. No such thing as hadith. Only the Quran. And they are known. These people have been around for a long time, but I didn't think that I would come across one in my life. They are arguing back and forth with me, and not only that, he quotes a whole page of ayat. A whole page of ayat from the book of Allah, trying to use them as an evidence that there's no such thing as sunnah. Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith. One ayat, Allah has sent down the best hadith. So they say, Allah says He has sent down the best hadith, so then the hadith of Prophet is not the best hadith. Listen to this crazy argument. And a whole discussion. And they say that we are misguided, because me and you believe in the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to them, the Quran is all that you need. The Quran is all that you need. So I asked them a simple question that I never got the answer for. If this is the case, how do you pray Dhuhr? Give me an ayah from the Quran that says that Dhuhr is at this time, and you begin with Takbirat al-Ihram, and you recite Al-Fatiha, you go for Ruku'i, say Subhana Rabbil Azim. Give me the evidence from the book of Allah. And every time they will reply, Girgir Kathir. Philosophy, 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 no answer. Answer! Give me an answer. How do you pray 5 times a day? Show me the evidence from the Quran. It is not in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam complementary to the Quran. They complete one another. They're not two different, they are both revelation from Allah. Allah preserved the hadith the same way He preserved the book of Allah, His own kitab, Jalla wa Ala. This is why until today, you have the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1400 years. You will not find this regarding any human being who lived upon this earth where people compile the statements. And not only that, we have them with the chain of narrators. Yani this brother narrated from this brother, from this brother, from this brother, all the way to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we had scholars used to study the lifestyle of these individuals. Were they trustworthy? Was their memory good enough? Did they write the hadith? So this is when they studied the chain of narrators, and that's how they conclude whether the hadith is sahih or da'if. If they find that there's a man in the chain, for example, who did not meet the one that he said that he narrated the hadith from, so they will label this hadith as da'if, because fi qatar, the sanad, there's a lack of connectivity in the sanad, there's a cut in the sanad. So this is all a science that the scholars had established, and this is part of the preservation of the deen that Allah has given the Quran and the Sunnah. So you have individuals arguing today and say that another one, and I thought that these were the only crazy people. Then yesterday somebody forwarded me an email about someone who, the email began like this. Abu Hurairah, I believe, radiallahu anhu, narrated from Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet said, when the Imam says Ameen at the end of Surah Al-Fatiha, whoever says Ameen coincides with that of the Imam, then he will have all of his sins forgiven. Tayyib, then the person has narrated by Bukhari. The book was collected by Imam Bukhari. I'm like, question about the sunnah of saying Ameen. Then right under that, he has the Fatiha, beginning with big, bold, capital letters. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And then he finished the surah. Then he said, there are some people that claim that this Ameen is part of the Fatiha. And he put 1.8, yani surah 1.8. And he's basically claiming that if you say Ameen, then you are adding an ayah to the Quran, and we are using a fabricated narration. He said that the hadith that is in Bukhari is a fabricated narration. And these people exist, man. Not only they give da'wah, not only they exist, they also give in da'wah. They send emails and try to tell the people, be careful, don't believe in the hadith, it's all fabrications. Don't say Ameen, because in the surah al-Fatiha, we don't have any Ameen. So these individuals exist, and they have knowledge. He's quoting ayat from the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran a refutation for every one of them. As Allah says in the Quran, every time they bring a weak, false argument, you will have from the Quran something to refute them. In one ayah of the Quran, for those who reject the hadith, you could tell them the following. That Allah revealed in one of the ayahs, verily, those who believe and do not affect their belief with any form of dhulm, then to them there will be security and Jannah. The meaning of the ayah. When the companions read this ayah, all of them became distressed and troubled. Those who believe and have no dhulm. Does any one of us not have dhulm? Each one of us commits dhulm. Anything you do that is wrong is a form of dhulm. So then they understood the dhulm as the dhulm, the oppression that one of us may do against himself or against his fellow brother. And so Allah said that whoever doesn't have any dhulm will have security. Once you have dhulm, no security for you. So the companions became distressed. They went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, O Messenger of Allah, we find this ayah in the book of Allah. And it says that, you know, we are doing this dhulm. Which one of us doesn't have dhulm? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, did you not hear the statement of Luqman to his son? Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. Verily shirk is great oppression. He said, the dhulm that is intended in this ayah is shirk. And not the oppression that you may do. So you tell the person who rejects the hadith, according to the Quran, all of us are going to Jahannam. If he doesn't want to refer to the interpretation of the Sunnah, then according to the Quran, tell him you're going to Jahannam. Tell me, did you not oppress yourself for the Muslims? He will say, I have. Say, the ayah says, no Jannah for you. So then you must refer to the Sunnah to understand what is intended by this ayah. You see what I'm saying? So there's always an argument from the Quran that Allah has sent down, which is better explanation, as Allah promised in Surah Al-Furqan, for anyone who brings any particular false argument. طيب. قال بعض المفسرين هذه الآية عامة في كل حجة يأتي بها أهل الباطل إلى يوم القيامة. Some of the مفسرين said this ayah in Surah Al-Furqan, and they do not produce to you an example or a similitude of falsehood, except that we will give you the truth and better interpretation. Some of the Mufassirin said, this ayah is an evidence against all of the people of falsehood until the day of judgment. Until the day of judgment, anyone who presents any misconception or any false argument regarding Islam, then you will be able to refute him from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, I gave you some examples, then of course the scholars can give you many more. How you can prove to these people that you must believe in the Sunnah. That believing in the Sunnah is a fundamental part of our deen. None of the A'imma rejected that. None of the companions rejected that. SubhanAllah, how do these people conceive that you could live according to the Quran and disregard the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So alhamdulillah, there is a counter argument for anyone who presents this falsehood to us. But again, you need to have knowledge of that, inshallah. So I don't want to, I know the time is getting much, much later. So we will conclude with that, inshallah ta'ala. It is preferred for the brothers who got the chance to write down the evidences quoted, to memorize them, inshallah, to the best of your ability. If Allah decreed that you left your notebook at home, or you're too tired to write down, maybe you're too sleepy, then you can always go to the website. Alhamdulillah, we are compiling notes for every desk. So I don't want to tell, I don't want anyone to become lazy and depend on that. But if this is the case anyway, then on the website, we will have the actual notes in PDF. So you can download them, and whatever I've been explaining, inshallah, you'll have it accessible for you to read it and review it and memorize the verses if you are interested in doing so, inshallah. And so this is, of course, the website is oneway to paradise.net. oneway to paradise.net. And so if you have any questions, inshallah, we'll quickly deal with them. Otherwise, everybody can go and get some rest for Fajr, which is around 4:23 in the morning tomorrow, inshallah. والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. Yes, it's in Bukhari. And the guy quoted the hadith and he said it's fabricated. Jazakallah khairan. There's a lecture.